Record. Let me turn this recording on. Amen. Yes, let's look at, we looked at the heaven, we looked at hell. And the question is there a difference? Is there a difference? Is there a difference of reward? Is there a difference of punishment? In other words, what was the man that wrote the book in 1200? Forget the name. Oh my goodness! Help me out here. What's the name of that book again?
Dante's Inferno.
The Inferno. Yes, yes, the Inferno. Yeah, did he have a point? Now I know it wasn't correct, but he envisioned that there would be differences of punishment according to the degree of wickedness, according to the how terrible these wicked things are. What about heaven? Will there be a greater reward for some and less for others? Let's look into the word and see what the Bible says about this. I start off in Matthew, the 5th chapter, and these are what we call the Beatitudes. I'm not going to read them all, but I'm going to read a few of them, and let's see what they say. I pick out a few here. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What is this? They shall inherit the earth. Does that mean while they're here, while they're living here, they're going to inherit the earth? Or is that referring to a heavenly reward? The earth means the earth, by the way. It means the land. It means where we stand, where we live. The meek shall inherit the earth. I believe it's talking about something after this life. Okay, let's look at another one. Let's go down to verse 10. It says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now that's the kingdom now, the kingdom then. I mean, the kingdom of heaven is forever, isn't it? So those who are persecuted have this special reward of the kingdom of heaven. Of course, others have that reward too. Let me go on. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. How many of us rejoice and are exceedingly glad when people revile us and say all manner of evil against us? Do we just rejoice? No, we don't usually rejoice, but we should be rejoicing. Why? He says, for great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. Now, when you say great, it implies that there are some things that are okay, but they're not so great. In other words, there must be degrees of reward. Some are good, some are better, and some are great. Great is your reward in heaven, okay? He didn't say exactly what it was, but the word is that there is reward. In other words, there's something you have that you probably wouldn't have gotten otherwise. Great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now that also implies that the prophets who were persecuted are going to have a significant reward in heaven because of the suffering that they have been through. Suffering brings glory, doesn't it? Suffering brings something extra. Makes us into something that we would not otherwise have been if we if we endure suffering. Amen. And if we overcome in that suffering. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And by the way, that word reward here is equal to what we would understand as wages. Just wages, okay? That's a reward. It's wages, okay? Now, Matthew 6, come over to the next chapter here. And let's take a couple of verses here. We're looking at the same word now. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. I can't believe they actually did this. Can you believe that? You sound a trumpet while you're putting your alms into the basket or box or whatever they had there, so that everyone would actually notice you. Can you believe that people actually did this? Well, if they didn't, it's the principle. Do not sound before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, this word reward means they have their wages. What they have, the reward of the wages, the reward that they have is the attention that they're going to get, the notice, the acclaim of men. People will say, "Oh wow, look at him. Oh wow, he put in a big check. Wow, he's really a giver, isn't he? Wonderful man, wonderful man." However, that's all the reward they're ever going to get. In other words, they have their reward in full. Now, what you do, that you don't sound the trumpet, you don't try to bring in the attention, you try to hide what you do, just do it. What you do to that is you have another reward that isn't just one that's going to end. People look, they say, "What a good man." It's over. That's all. That's all you're going to get. But God gives a reward according to your works, that is far lasting, far above that. Look at verse 16 in the same chapter here. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. Amen. Hypocrites. What are hypocrites? People that are play actors, people that are pretenders. The word hypocrite really is tied very strongly to actors. Where was it back in the old days when they would put on a play? They would hold up a mask. They'd put a mask in front of their face, a sad mask. Then they would switch over and they'd put a happy mask in front of their face. I mean, they would carry these masks around on the stage while they were acting. That's a hypocrite. Amen. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What that means is they have it in full. That's all they're going to get. There'll be no more reward. But when thou fastest, anoint thy head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So the principle of reward you openly. Somewhere down the line, you're going to get a reward that Others are going to see, others are going to know, it's going to be manifest that you're getting something special. And it'll be manifest, I believe, why you're getting something special. Let's look into Matthew chapter 16. We'll look in a different direction here. Matthew 16, verse 20. Let me get to get there a little bit. 27, I believe it is where we want to start. Yeah, 16:27. Here we are. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, the reward, the word reward here is a slightly different one. It isn't exactly wages, but it's payment. Okay? Not a wage, but a payment. It says then he shall pay every man, reward every man according to his works. Oh, just read the next verse here. For I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Well, those that were standing with him saw the kingdom of God. Amen? They saw the fullness of Jesus on the cross. They saw, amen, what men had been waiting for hundreds of years to see before they tasted death. It already happened. Now, he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, this is not works that we try to do that we might obtain the kingdom of God. You cannot obtain the kingdom of God by works. But when you've come into the kingdom of God, when you've come into salvation, when you've come into the walk of the life in Christ, then you're expected to obey. You're expected to do what he wants you to do as his servants. If you obey, if you do what you're asked to do, you're going to get the reward for your labor. Amen. If you don't, things are going to be different. We'll see some interesting verses on these things. Let's look at John chapter 6. There's something here about works that we ought to be looking at. In fact, I think I kind of read this verse a couple weeks ago. Larry had asked a question, and I went into this verse here. Let's see. No, it's Mark. I'm sorry. Did I say John? Well, okay. Well, it'll be both. Let me look at John. That's right. John 6, 28. Let me go back a little further. All right, Jesus answered them and said, Verily I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Now, the word labor here means work, works, this type of thing, task, trade, occupation, all right? Labor not. Now, the people that are listening to him, they pick up on this and they said to him, what shall we do that we might work the works? In other words, what kind of occupation, what kind of labor should we do? Amen. What kind of trade, what kind of task should we do that we might work the works of God? Okay. And Jesus answered and said unto them, this. In other words, should I become a bishop? Should I become a pastor? Should I become this or that or whatever? Would that be working the works of God? What was his answer? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work. This is what he's saying. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So, in other words, your task, your work, your occupation is to believe. Well, they didn't quite get it yet. So they, therefore, they said unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may believe thee? What dost thou work? And of course, he said down here in verse 35, he said to them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. So that's how he dealt with what shall we do that we might work the works. Amen. Now I want to go to Colossians chapter 3. We can turn over there. We're finished in the Gospels right now. Colossians 3, having a hard time finding it. Here we are. Look at verse 23. 23 is, okay. Well, just so we put it in context, we'll go back to 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So again, another confirmation that there is something beyond just, am I going to go to heaven or am I not going to go to heaven? In other words, there can also be just going to heaven, just barely getting in, but there's something that we will call a reward, something that makes a difference in the kingdom of heaven of you. You're different. Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 7. Here we are. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. This is one of my favorite verses. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, that's in doing works, amen, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now that's a principle. I was asking Rita the other day, years ago we saw a movie, I don't know, what was the name of the movie? Some Western movie, and there was a fellow in the movie named Crescencio, and he had this unusual belief. He was a Hispanic fellow in the movie. And anytime anybody wanted to bring revenge, personal revenge on something, what was his saying? It's the way of life. Whatever he did, it'll come back on him. What goes around, in other words, we'd say what goes around comes around. Now, what this is saying here in Galatians, it is a principle. Whatever you sow, you will reap. There will be a harvest of whatever you sow. A man who has, let's say, a 60-year-old man, for all his life, he's sown anger, cursing, hot temper. He's sown all this into his family, into his children. What's he going to reap? He's going to reap whatever he put into their lives. What he's put into the life of his wife, he's going to reap. He's not going to get the affection and the loyalty that he really would like to have, because he's ruined it for years. All right, now let's take another situation. Let's say you've sown to the flesh, and now you're coming of age, maybe you're 30 years old, whatever, and you come to the Lord and you repent of all the things that you've ever done. However, you still sowed into the lives of other people. Is that going to change immediately? No, it's not. You're going to have to start sowing something different in your field. You're going to have to start sowing love, forgiveness, compassion, mercy into the lives of other people. After a while, yes, that will come. You will reap what you've sown. But what you sowed before that, you're also going to reap for a while until that crop comes to an end. You know, the Lord showed me that very clearly. I don't know, I was approaching 40, I guess. I was in my 30s. And I was making some significant changes in my life. I didn't think that I had sowed such terrible things, in the flesh. But nevertheless, it wasn't good. It wasn't the right thing that I should have been doing. And it was not bringing me a lot of joy and happiness. And I went to the Lord and I said, "Lord, what's going on? I'm sowing righteousness now. I'm sowing mercy. I'm sowing this and that." And the Lord made it clear to me that yes, I was still going to have to eat some of the bitter crop of what I had sown years ago until it finally came to an end. But the devil would keep whispering to me that it's never going to come to an end. You might as well give up. It's not going to do any good. No, the word of God says that if I'm sowing to, what does it say here? If I sow to the Spirit, I will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. But you know what? After a while, the wild oats came to an end. The devil was lying. It came to an end. And the life of the Spirit began to take hold. And the life of the Spirit began to take ascendancy, began to rise above that other. And I was able to smile and say to the devil, "Look, you've been a liar. That old crop is coming to an end. Amen. No more wild oats." All right. So I like this verse. Whatever a man sows, yes, you've come to the Lord, but there's still some things, some old crop that has to be finished off. Amen. All right. Let's look at 2 Timothy. There's an interesting verse here. Paul is speaking in chapter 4, verse 14. Let's start in, let's go back here a little bit. Do thy diligence to come shortly to me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. This, by the way, this is the probably the last letter that Paul wrote before he was executed in Rome. These are his last words, brethren. Amen. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Titus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. It's going to get cold. I need that cloak. Amen. And the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Copper, Alexander the coppersmith hath done me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Now, what was Paul saying? Was Paul cursing the man? No, I don't believe so. Paul was simply saying, whatever the man sowed, he's going to reap. What'd you say, Rita? In other words, he's going to get what his due. I don't have to give it to him. I don't have to come against him. But what he's done is going to have an effect in the spirit. And it isn't going to go well for him. He's just being honest. You'd say, well, how would Paul dare to write a thing like that? He's stating a spiritual principle. The spiritual principle is God is not mocked. This is a principle. It's as reliable as the law of gravity. If you drop your cup over the edge of the table, it's going to fall to the floor. It might break. That's the law of gravity. The law, the spiritual law, whatever a man sows, he is going to reap. And that means a woman too, by the way. And that means a child. Teach your children to begin to sow to the Spirit, to begin to sow in righteousness. Don't let your children sow into revenge. My goodness, my mother would never let us. We were not allowed to fight back, by the way. Somebody come and sock us or throw a mud ball at us. We were told that we had to forgive them. We were not, you know, there are men who teach their children to fight. Oh, he hits you, go and hit him back. Oh, give it to him. No, you don't have to do that. Old Crescenzio in that movie, he would always say, no, 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 no. You don't have to do that. It'll take care of itself. It's the way of the world. Amen. It'll come back on him because what he sowed, he'll reap. Amen. So there's a type of reward that comes back naturally. Now go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, I believe it is. And we have a different word here. Hebrews chapter 2, and it says, let me read the first verse, but it's in second verse that we're looking for. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. You need to hold on to what you've been hearing, brethren. Don't let them slip. Don't let them slip. What this implies is somebody's trying to take it away from you. Somebody's trying to pull it from you. So you have to hold on to it. Don't let the devil take it from you. Don't let it slip. Amen. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Here's a term now that we're going to find several times. It's a term called recompense of reward. Now, I'm going to define the word recompense here. It's not exactly wages, it's not exactly pay, but it is, in a way it means it. It means to compensate or pay for service rendered or damage incurred. In other words, this term recompense of reward is not just positive. It also has a negative side. It's a penalty. It can also be a penalty. Amen? A penalty. All right? So, recompense of reward. Now, I want to find that, we're going to find that term in other places here. Let's go to Hebrews. Oh, by the way, that term in the Amplified says the appropriate, just, and adequate penalty. The appropriate, just, and adequate penalty. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. You find that term again, Hebrews chapter 10. In looking verse, I gotta go another page here. In verse 35, let me go back a little bit. Let's start in verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Amen. How many of you endured a great fight of afflictions? Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. By the way, do you know it was made, Christianity was made illegal, amen, in certain places, like in Rome, it was made illegal. And since it was made illegal, then it was legal for anybody that wanted to come and plunder their house, to take their goods, to steal from them. And there was nothing they could do about it. You couldn't call the police. They were doing what was lawful. You're illegal, therefore anybody can come after you. I believe that's what happened, and that's what Paul is talking about here. You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, the plundering and stealing of your goods, your possessions, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. There's that term again. It has a great recompense. Now, this is a positive reward here. Amen. To compensate and or pay for service rendered. God is going to reward you, for you have need of patience. How many of you like that? Oh, that doesn't apply to me. Well, let's read it. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Amen? Promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now, let's go to the chapter 11. We can find that same term here in chapter 11, verse 26. This is the chapter on faith, and we're talking about Moses. Let's start with Moses in verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What does come to years? When does a man come to years? Howard, when does a man come to years? You think just 20? Come on. When did you come to years?
30.
Is that when you came to years? Is that when you came to really look at your life and say, whoa, wait a minute, where am I going? I'll bet you were older than that.
55, 60.
Hey man, I see Jeremy's face. Jeremy, when did you come to years? Probably getting close to 40, wasn't it?
40, yeah.
Yeah. As I look into my life, I think I was in my late 30s, mid to late 30s maybe, when I came to years and I said, yeah, things are going to have to go a different direction here. So Moses was 40. You see, the world says when you're 18, you've come to years. Yo, the poor kid, 18-year-old doesn't know anything about where he's going yet. Maybe he can get God to send him off and get him started in the right direction. If he keeps going that way, he'll eventually come to years. 21, oh, they say legal age, 21. No, come on. You're still not there. 21.
Jesus didn't start his ministry until 30.
Who,
so is that when he came to you?
Yeah. Yeah. 30 is the number considered to be the number of maturity, the number of full coming into manhood, okay? You should be able to get there by age 30. If you look in the in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, I think it's Leviticus, the priest could not assume their business of priesthood until they came to the age of I think it was 40, might have been 30. No, it was 30. You're right, it was 30. Amen. I can give you a lot of examples of the meaning of the number 30. Okay, Joseph had to be in prison until he was 30. And he came right from prison, right to the throne. Jesus, 30. However, with Moses, it was 40. Took him a little longer to get there. Amen. So Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So Moses came to an awareness at the age of 40. This isn't going to go the way God wants it to go. Son, it's interesting the way this is worded here. It doesn't say he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. It says he refused to become the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So when we find a woman, what do we find? We find a type of church, don't we? So the church called Pharaoh's daughter, what kind of church was that? It wasn't the true church, was it? It was a false church. So he said, I'm not going to be part of that church. I'm not going to be part of that son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm going to be what? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He knew he was going to have to suffer affliction. Amen. Choosing that rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, does sin have any pleasure? Of course it does, for a season. But that's about all it would last. What could Moses have had? He had an unlimited allowance of money, probably like Biden's son, probably could have all the money he wanted, millions, whatever. Had his father's protection from anything he does wrong, he wouldn't get in trouble. He probably had command of some of the army that he could go and fight and win wars, whatever.
Read it. It says he had Nefertiti. He could have had her. Yeah. Was that really her name? Or was that just in the movie of the Ten Commandments?
He could have had any woman he
wanted. Yeah. Well, Rita says he could have had any woman he wanted. The truth is, he could have had as many women as he wanted, which some men would say, hey, boy, that's. Where did the Muslims get the idea that their martyrs are going to get 72 virgins? Where'd that number 72 ever come from? By the way, they're going to be very disappointed. You know what? Because when you leave this world, you're not in the physical state anymore. You're in a spiritual state. And there's nothing you can do with 72 virgins. Amen. Well, okay. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. See, he's thinking about something that is greater. He's thinking about down the road. He's thinking about beyond these 40 or these 70 years. Beyond the 70 years that I might have, there's something greater riches. Greater riches. See, there's riches, there's more riches, and there's greater riches. When I see the word greater, I think of something really special. Greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. There's that same term again in Hebrew. Three times I found it in Hebrews. Recompense of reward. He's going to be compensated, amen, for the service rendered or the damage incurred. The recompense of reward. Now, look at it. We'll go back. Yes, I said we were done in the Gospels. No, we're not. Luke, Brother Luke. There's a little story here that I found quite interesting. And I'd like to throw it out to you and ask you what you think of the meaning of this little parable that Jesus gave. Maybe you haven't thought about this parable in a long time, but it came to my mind here this week. I read these verses and then I spend the whole week thinking about them and trying to grasp what God is saying about these verses. This one came to me and I had to come and add it to my list, and I'm thinking this is important. There's got to be a meaning here. Luke 12:41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable? Well, let's go back to verse 40. Okay. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise servant whom the Lord shall make ruler over his household and give him their portion of meat in due season? Now that sounds like a reward, doesn't it? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Amen. Just a minute, I have to get rid of this. Okay. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. All right. There's some kind of a reward. Make him ruler. But if that servant, now we're not talking about a sinner here. We're talking about a servant. Hello? Are we not? Somebody that belongs to the Lord, that servant. If that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder. Now, that word cut him in sunder means cut him in half. Amen. And will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now that sounds like a servant that's going to lose his place in the kingdom, doesn't it? Hello, come on. Can you see it any other way? Appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. In other words, he knew what was right, but he didn't do it. The word many, many stripes, punishment. But he that knew not, in other words, he didn't know what was expected, and did commit things worthy of stripes. In other words, he did the same thing, but he didn't know what he was doing, really. He didn't know it was right or wrong. Shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Brethren, you people who are hearing this word, who have signed on, shall we say, to this message, you have been given much, and much more will be required of you. Somebody that hasn't been given this much and kind of flounders along and tries to blunder along, makes some mistakes. Well, it's still wrong, but he's not going to get as many stripes. Now, stripes, to me, you know what that means, don't you? They take a cane. I went over in Leviticus. I went over and read it in the book of Leviticus. Man does wrong. They say how many stripes he's supposed to get according to his punishment. Man has to lay on the ground. They take the cane and they whack it over his back. One, two. But in Leviticus it says you dare not go more than 40. So that's the top. That's the top punishment, 40. Well, when the judges sentence the criminals here in America, I suppose the top sentence would be life in prison without the possibility of any parole. Used to be that they would, well, some of the places, I guess in Texas yet too, it would be execution. So degrees of punishment. There are degrees of punishment, brethren. There are degrees of reward. Now let me take you to Revelation, chapter 11. You know chapter 11, Revelation, very well, don't you, brethren? But we're going to go a little beyond that to chapter, to verse 18. Let's start in verse 15 here. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their throne, on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry. Sounds like right about now. And thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, shall small and great, and shouldst destroy them that destroy the earth. So there's a time of judgment, it says here, that their rewards will be given to the servants, prophets, saints. I think that includes all of us, doesn't it? Rewards, a time of reward, a time of judgment. The time the great white throne judgment is meted out. Now, look again here. And by the way, that word again means the pay, the payment. Chapter 18, verse 6. Another payment. And I heard in verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. You see, the thing is, people need to understand, we need to warn people. You remain in Babylon. You may, to some extent, be innocent of what Babylon is guilty of. But because you remain a part of her, because you remain loyal to her, when her judgment comes, you will be a partaker. You will receive the pay that she's due. Amen? That ye be not a partaker of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Here's the word. Reward. That means give payment, give recompense. Reward her even as she rewarded you. That same word. She paid you. Now she's getting payback. Amen. And double unto her, double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. This is the word of the Lord to Babylon. Amen. Verse 22, chapter 22, I mean. Now here's the same word that was used of Babylon, chapter 22, verse 12. Okay. Well, let me go back to verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. In other words, there comes a time when where you're at is where you're going to be. If you're on the wrong side, if you're unjust, you're going to be unjust. If you're filthy, you're going to be filthy. By the way, these words have a different meaning. There might be people that are unjust that are not filthy. You follow what I'm saying? Let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. You know, I'd like to be both righteous and holy, wouldn't you? Amen? Not just doing right, But I want to be found holy in the eyes of the Lord. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Now, let's think about this for a minute. You know, I am so glad that the story of the crucifixion included the story of the two thieves. Gives us really a look into the mercy of God and the meaning of the fullness of faith. Jesus said to that man, "Today you will be with me in paradise. Today you'll be with me in paradise." Now, what kind of reward is that man going to get for his works? Will he get great reward for a lifetime of sowing to righteousness? No, he can't get that. But what did he get? He got eternal life. Okay? So every man that comes into the kingdom will have eternal life. But not every man will have great reward. Amen? Not this man will not have, I do not see any reward that the man could have for anything he's done. Except that he had a reward maybe for some suffering and he had to overcome some of that. But that wasn't very much. It wasn't very long. It was only a few hours. It wasn't a lifetime. The Lord brought me to one more verse that I'd like to share. It's a couple of verses. It's in 1 Corinthians. And I can't forget because this verse has been often brought to my remembrance. It was once brought to my remembrance by Sister Janet when she was my wife. And boy, she held her finger up at me and she brought me a word of correction. And you know what? It was true. It was a true prophetic word. She said to me one day, I was pursuing some things that had nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Wasn't wicked, wasn't wrong. It wasn't unrighteous, nothing like that. It was just something I wanted to do, but it was consuming my time. And she came up to me and she said it just like this, "Husband, I have something to say to you. Wood, hay, and stubble. And that's not what you've been called to do." And I hung my head and I said, "You're right. I'm going to have to make some changes." All right, so here's the verse where that wood, hay, and stubble comes from. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh my, I'm way off of chapter 3. Here we are. Chapter 3, start at verse 12. Oh, let me go back here a little bit. Let's go back to... Well, let me go back to verse 5. You don't mind if I read a bit here, do you? It says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." That's a principle, brethren. I find it, I think we've proven that by now. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Okay. Jesus is the cornerstone, the apostles, the foundation blocks. Paul is saying, I've laid foundation. Amen. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, which will it be? Amen. Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, in a natural carnal picture, you can see this is very carnal, okay? Listen to me. We come before the judgment of the Lord. Well, what have you got to bring, son? Well, here I have it in my hand. Oh, that's good. Let's put the fire to it. Oh, that's gold and silver, precious stones. Okay, no problem. All right, here comes the next man. What have you got to present? Well, it's a handful of wood, hay, and stubble. All right, well, let's put the fire to it and see how it lasts. It's gone. Uh-oh, I guess I don't have anything to present. Wood, hay, and stubble. Amen. Amen. The fire shall try any man's work whatsoever. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So there's the Christian reward according to what you bring at the end, on the last day. What you're going to bring. I have to bring this little story to you again that I think I told one time before. Maybe you didn't hear it. I cannot remember who this man was. He was a man of equal stature to Derek Prince. I do not remember who he was, though. It wasn't Derek. It was somebody else, and God will not allow me to remember the story. But I remember hearing it from him. He said he had a dream one night, and he was getting older in his days. He was getting on up to what we call retirement age, 60s, 70s, whatever. But he was a very famous, well-known evangelist, preacher, television, books, this type of thing. A well-known name. And in his dream, he came to the gate of heaven, and he sought admission. And I believe it was the Lord that was at the gate. And he said to the man, are you ready to enter in? And the man said, yes, I am. And he recounted to the Lord all the wonderful things that he had done. And the Lord answered, I'll say the Lord, it might have been an angel. The Lord said to the man, would you like to see who you really are before you make this final move and enter in? Would you like to see how I see you, how you're seen, how you really are? And then maybe you'd like to make a decision on that. He said, okay, I'd like to see how I am. So the Lord showed him, it would be like, say, brought a mirror in front of him and showed him. And he said, I was a little baby toddler wearing diapers. That's all I was. All of my works, wood, hay, and stubble in the eyes of men. All the things that I had gotten reward from the appraisal of men, the honor of men. That's all I had. He says, and I said to the Lord, would you give me a little more time? I'm not ready yet to enter in. And he woke up and he said he was so shaken by that, that he began to realize that he had done nothing to build the kingdom of God in his own soul. It was all work that didn't mean a thing. It was not the kingdom of God. And I don't know why that story sticks with me, but every now and then that comes back to me and I'm thinking, oh God, I don't want to be that baby in diapers, that toddler standing before the gate and nothing else to show for. I want to be a son, a full, mature, adult son in your eyes, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'll turn my recording off now.
Amen.